You're listening to Don's Cards, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
No, I'm Nick.
And mate, we are the Essendon Bombers. In our time off, there was a little bit of controversy about our perceived logo change. At no point, was it made clear that the bomber was going or anything like that. But it certainly turned into something much bigger. I guess some of the messaging around that probably that's what probably caused the mass hysteria was when I've made no commitment to anything. We just want, member feedback and stakeholder feedback.
Mm.
And that turned into the woke of, the bomber representing a war vehicle or a war aircraft. But I was relieved to see when we got Dave Barham's letter from the president, where it said, "We will always be the Bombers." And that's really important to me because that's what I grew up with, mate. We were always the Bombers. And, we've had that title since 1940.
Yep.
I would have been disappointed if they wanted to drop it just because a few people were a bit sensitive around it. For what it's worth, I really hope we don't go to an insignia logo.
Mm-hmm.
I know we used it last year as part of our 150-year celebration. But to me, EFC or, as spiced up as you want to do, to me, that's not the logo I grew up supporting. It's not the logo I've taught my kids to follow. And even my grandson now. He knows what the Bombers are, and he had no choice on that. But the same thing is that, I really think it's unimaginative to go to an insignia rather than a logo.
Yeah, I mean, for mine, I'm less hard and fast in it, but for mine, they really need to have this conversation now. Mid-season, at a time when most of us were saying, oh, thank God we've got a, pretty quiet back of house. We can just get on with footy matters. We don't have to worry about, goings on around the club. Looks like it's in good hands. And now's the time they want to stuff around with things.
Press the self-destruct button, mate.
Well, it's like they said, oh, things are going pretty well at Essendon. They go, hold my beer. I just kind of think, look, you can have those conversations in the postseason because really, if you want to get that feedback, perhaps a time like the AGM might be a time to get that feedback after the main season. We don't need these distractions. And not that it would have been a big distraction to the players, but I mean, I was saying to some mates, Essendon, for a few weeks at least, had ceased to be the laughing stock of the AFL. Because we've made some pretty bonehead decisions over the time and taken our fair whack for that. But it's like we missed a bit of the limelight and wanted a bit of attention. So I just find the whole timing of it a bit ridiculous. Obviously, I'm sure how it would have happened is, there were some backroom conversations. What do we reckon about this? The media's got a handle of it and blown it out of proportion as the media is wont to do.
Mm.
But I just think the timing of it is, it was pretty poor.
Yeah, well, I guess that was the big news before our game against Freo. And then when we played Fremantle, mate, I must say, just in my opinion, that was the worst style of play I'd seen us play since last year under Truck.
Mm.
I just felt we just were not accountable at all. The amount of free footy we gave Fremantle without adjusting.
Yep.
I thought that was really disappointing. I know a lot of teams have lost off the bye, but to me, there was a reluctance to change.
Yep.
We just kept protecting space that wasn't working.
Mm.
And we're giving Fremantle all the movement from their back half, which is usually our strength.
Yep.
And we were just bombing it to, we became Peter Wright-centric, where we were just bombing it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately on the night, it wasn't Pete's night. He just couldn't get his hands on the ball to mark.
Yep.
And it was, we had to get our goals out of, really, scrambles rather than any set method to do it. So, that was a little bit disappointing, the style of play. Like, I'm not, gonna murder him for that. But I mean, like, I really hope that was just an off night. I really hope that's not going to be the style we'll go with, because coming up against top of the ladder Port, we'll need to change our ways, or it could be a really bad night at the G.
Certainly, mate. Just a couple of points on that, like in the style of play. I think the thing that disappointed me the most was there was a lack of a plan B. We've seen previously when other sides were getting a hold of us, we've made movements. We were talking, like, everyone lauded, oh, geez, we moved Merritt to forward line to break that tag from Curnow, and that turned out really well. There was a lack of, that shifting of the magnets. As we say, but I kind of think there were some bonehead decisions, prior to the match. I want to talk about match selection, where I get it. Brad Scott likes the two rucks, but you bring in a young Nick Bryan, and look, he's a promising young ruckman, and you want to give him that opportunity to play his wares, because we know other clubs will come knocking. And while Phillips plays admirably for us, without Drapes there. Brian comes in, but we automatically give up a bit of physicality. We know that's an area of the game he needs to work on. I thought his disposal was pretty good, but his time on ground, James, for playing the three quarters was 34%. Now, Menzies, who eventually, like, he got taken out of the game, to then come on and get subbed on for Nick Bryan, played 35% of game time as the sub. Like, that's ridiculous for mine. If you're going to bring someone on, you played in that position, you wear the, if we're not getting enough out of him, or if he's not fit enough to play that position, you don't play him. We just, like, it seems a nonsensical call for me. If you're going to back him in properly and, wear it. Because, realistically, Jane, between Jackson and Darcy, Freo's ruckman, like, they were very physical, and in the end, very I suppose
Influential, wasn't it?
influential and, like, imposing, like really impose themselves. Phillips, look, he's limited in a number of ways, but he was definitely crashing in. He was winning his fair share of hit-outs. I think he played a solid game. But Nick Bryan, like, he done a few things here and there. I just think that selection, and particularly, as you say, like, our going inside 50, we're still really poor at. It was that bomb along to Peter Wright or bust, right? Because we weren't hitting up, weeds. Langford, barely bobbed up for the course of the night. And so if that's our plan of attack, bomb along and hope for the fall of the ball, but we need quality small forwards in there. Guelphy's, kind of just come back from injury, and then, like, so he's come back from injury, and then there's been the bye, and then he's come back. So I don't think he's fully 100% there. But we needed a Menzies there. Like, so again, I think that selection didn't, it doesn't make sense on so many ways. Yeah, and there's a number of other selection issues I think we needed to look at. I get the reasoning for those. One that comes to mind is Kelly for Hind. Look, and perhaps that's hindsight thinking, going, geez, well, that didn't work out. Not putting that on Kelly. It's just, he's had a long period off from AFL level football, and it takes a while to get back. I get that. But in a game where, like, Freo really showed us up for foot speed, James, from my side,
Yeah, we look slow.
we look slow. Quite a number of things to go on. But I guess the big thing for mine was where Freo really cut us up to my mind was, one, foot speed, two, good uses of the football. And we really made blokes look like superstars. I'm thinking Schultz, Walters, we gave him a good return to form. you know, Brayshaw, you look at Sarong, all these blokes just look like, they were given, time to spare. I'll probably stop my ramble there, but there's quite a bit that I was kind of disappointed with. I'm not as doom as gloom as some, and I'll tell you what, James, some of the commentary I saw from fans, look, I don't know if any fan base eats their own, like the Essendon Football Club sometimes. Calling for, Parrish to be traded, the likes of Mike Heppel, who I think actually played a quite a good game, for him to never play a game again. Whoever else you want to name, like Nick Bryan should never play seniors ever. Like, get real. I think people, just have a very knee-jerk reaction. And don't get me wrong, like, we're all fans. We get emotional. That's why we love the game. But to be potting blokes after a pretty dour team performance, like, you couldn't put it on one individual, Jam. I think it's pretty, pretty rough. So, lots to work on. But I think, overall, when I look at the young list, I think, it is a year of development. There's a lot to work on. But I'm backing Brad Scott in to improve our young list of players, because I think, despite the poor performance on the weekend, I think we've performed, the best I've seen, over the course of a season for some years.
Yeah, I was talking to a North Melbourne friend of mine, and he said, I was talking about how, Brad Scott's really changed our mindset of our players. This is obviously prior to the game, but I said there seems to be an extra layer of professionalism with his arrival. And he gave me a bit of caution. He said, look, he's a very good coach, but one of his faults that he thinks that, over 9 years of watching him as coach of the North, or was North Melbourne, was that he is reluctant to play young players. He sides with his senior players. He will, play them through really bad form. This is, again, just his opinion, so I'm not basing it on anything at Essendon. And he pointed, he's obviously out of gauge at a few of our games. He said, like Wiedemann, he said, he will not make that change. He'll just keep playing him through it, so get used to that. Even if you think there's a young Pat Voss that is dying for an opportunity, that's unlikely to happen, based on his previous tenure, sorry. I think he's been prepared to play younger players from what we've seen. A few younger players have had their opportunity, haven't they? And he's stuck with them. Like, he's been reluctant. Alan Davey was in from round one, basically. And he gave him plenty of opportunities to hold his spot. I'm not as down on that. But I will say that selection has been pretty safe, I think. And they have sided with the same kind of players. We're not seeing, a massive amount of changes. Maybe that's just the stability of the team. But, I hope the likes of, in time, Sardis and all that can make their way in. I think watching the VFL, I'd like to see, Waller given another opportunity soon. Because, if we're waiting for him to be in peak fitness, well, we may as well write off the season. It's not going to happen. But I think he can be a dynamic sub player. We saw that against Hawthorn. But I mean, I think he needs to reevaluate what the sub's for. Because we needed that spark on Saturday night, for example. And that would have been maybe a nice addition. But look, we'll wait and see on that. Give him. Yeah, he's done a wonderful job so far, so certainly not a knock on him. But, it'll be something I'll keep an eye out now that he's made me aware. Look, I think at the end of the day, I don't think any of us thought we'd be 8-6, where we are now. Now, we got Port. a lot of people say, you're playing the top of the team, you've come off a really bad performance, but I'm still really positive about this game. I think us at the G, I'd love to see, 50,000 plus, especially a pro bomber crowd, get out there Saturday night and break that Port streak. I reckon that would be, a really good feather on the cap and a good way to redeem themselves.
Yep.
They've had nothing but a whack to the face on that performance. So you know the players are going to work hard this week, I would imagine, because, there's a logjam right below us, mate, in the with the premiership points.
Yep.
There's about 3 or 4 teams on 28 points, and so we're one loss away from being, potentially 10th on the ladder. So it can change quickly when you lose form. So let's hope the boys can respond. But let's go through the game, mate. We started over there. It was going to be wet. We knew that for most of the week. So the club knew, we're going into more Melbourne-like weather than Perth. The changes, as you said, we had Kelly in. There was a late change with Brian coming in and Menzie made sub. And there was one other change. Oh, Parrish, of course. Darcy Parrish came in, which was great to see him back after, a number of weeks out with that calf injury.
Yep.
So, that was great to see. But how did you take on we started really well the game as the game started, and I thought, we're on here.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, Darcy Parrish is the one that really started it for mine. Like, he looked so clean at that centre bounce and thought, oh, geez. Like, you kind of, when you miss a player for a while, you kind of take it for granted. Oh, we're still doing all right in there. But his ability to take that ball out cleanly, and the thing I really liked about his start was he was lowering the eyes and hitting targets. I thought that was beautiful. We got that first goal to Kyle Langford, and that was a great start with a couple of minutes of play. So the way we opened our account was just brilliant. And I thought, Darcy Parrish in particular, started really strongly there. Then we saw another goal. I thought, here we go. Like, it was another great goal from Caldwell. Just a a really nice little effort there. I thought, oh, geez, we could be on here.
Yeah, and Freo had a shot at goal through Darcy, and he scraped in. And then we had a couple of opportunities to Jake Stringer, and the first one, that was a 50-50 shot from long range.
Yep.
That second one where he lost his opponent and had the footy, he was walking in. Now Jake would kick that, I reckon, 8 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a disappointing moment, because I really think if we had got that, close to 3-goal buffer, I'm sure that would have put Freo a little bit more in two minds. But the subsequent minutes after that, Freo started to take control.
Yeah, I mean, just before that, Jane Box, to get that one of those shots at goal, like, Stringer took a really good mark, which was just class. And as I say, like, it was a shame he missed. And then soon after, like, as we said before, like, we saw the inception of Kelly, and I thought, he actually defended a bit of play really well, because Freo were out, and he just beelined the footy, which was great to see. But then very soon after, he had a very Jekyll and Hyde moment, Jane, where, as you say, like, Freo were coming inside 50, and we were just about to work the ball out, but then just as we went to kick it out, Kelly, for God knows what reason, grabbed him by the shoulder, and they reefed him back. And like, the umpires are always going to see that. So giving away a free, in their 50, not a great way. Fortunately, Amos missed, but nevertheless, you need to, I suppose, keep your heads when we're trying to get out of 50. And then we saw Redmond give away a bit of a professional free kick, But you know, they're able to get a goal out of that to Switkowski. And then we saw some pretty good play. Like I saw Martin, who we've had a go at previously. Well, not have a go, but like regarding his defensive pressure and tackling. I thought he made a really good tackling effort to allay the Fremantle entries. And then we saw Phillips take a nice pluck out of the air, and he thought, "Oh, look, we're still giving them opportunities, but we're making it work forward." But unfortunately, we were just a bit wasteful, Jane. Just bombing it high and long, which was a bit disappointing. We weren't making the most of our opportunities.
Yeah, that's right. We're going forward, but there was really no method to it. So, we weren't hitting up our targets. They were just like long bombs forward. And that gave Freo, I think, a lot of confidence, knowing that we were making it easy for them to do defend. And on the back of that, they started to get out.
They did, mate. We saw some good moments from Zerk, but we just couldn't make the most of it. And then there was a really poor kick, from Martin. We were out, and then for whatever reason, he decided to kick it to Snelling, who was on a 2-on-1 against I can't remember who the defenders were, but Snelling's knee high to a grasshopper. He was never going to win that. So I thought that was pretty poor from Martin on that occasion. But then we saw Freo get a bit of momentum first through Luke Jackson kicking one, and then very soon after Michael Walters went back and slotted one. And you just kind of think, we'd worked so hard and really dominated best part of that quarter, but then in the space of 2 minutes they'd taken the lead. And we ended up finishing that quarter 6 points down, 2 goals 3:15 to their 3 goals 3:21.
Yeah, now was that just remind me, Andrew Phillips clanger, where he marked the ball on the halfback flank and totally miscued his kick and led to an easy goal to Freo.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, look, things happen, but unfortunately, for us, they tend to happen to us more than other teams, or at least we cough it up at bad, dangerous parts of the ground. As I said previously, like when Freo did get the ball, they just cut us up through the middle, Jane. And our team defense seemed to really fade away from what it was previously. Like we were giving them that 2 to 3 meters of breathing space, but that's kind of all they needed. With blokes like Walters, Frederick, and I've forgotten the other bloke's name, but like Sarong, Schultz, and if they're giving you a little bit of space, like they'll take that mark, and then like they were moving it super quick, and we just weren't able to hold him because we were already playing catch up, giving him that 2 or 3 meters at the start, and unfortunately that continues to be a trend for the game.
I felt we should have been at least 2 goals up at quarter time. So to be that goal down, I was hoping we'd respond hard in the second quarter. Got off to a Freo start. Snap a goal, I think it was from Josh Tracy.
Tracy, yep.
And then the hard-working Ben Hobbs kicked a beautiful goal. Really took the ownership, went back and kicked it, and that was a really nice goal.
Yeah, it was Jane Locken. Like, yeah, you just think for such a young bloke, he's got like a real good head on his shoulders and like owns the moment. Like he took that responsibility on, which I thought was fantastic, and kicked truly, which was great to see. But unfortunately, Freo took it up their end and got another goal through Matthew Johnson.
Yeah, and that was, we were at their mercy, I think. The amount of times they were just running forward with very little pressure on them, started to provide them opportunities.
Absolutely. And Yeah, we saw Yeager Amira, who he's another one who yeah, we really played into form. He was cutting us up, but fortunately he missed a shot of goal before Jai Amos kicked one. But then finally we're able to yeah, straighten up a little bit through Nick Martin, who yeah, he'd done some good work. You know, and I think it was actually Wiedemann who might have you know, grabbed the footy and given the handball off to Nick Martin to kick it through for a bit of a you know, a relieving pressure kind of kick there, which was nice to see.
Yeah, that's for sure. And because Nick Martin is usually such a precise kick, he had a number of clangers on the night, and it was great to see him actually correct that and get a goal. We saw Jai Amis get another goal on this one. That was a score review, wasn't it, mate? With the goal umpire calling a behind, because it
I
touched
like
the
it.
post.
Well, that's the thing. I've never seen it happen before where, you know, they've actually used the technology to say, oh, no, there was nothing on the, you know, effectively the old snicko. But so that in that case, we will overturn the decision. Never seen that. But look, you go with what it is. But unfortunately, I think, you know, we saw Martin, you know, stuff a number of kicks throughout the match, and one of those where like he'd done some good play to get to the ball, and I think I don't know if he just runs himself too tired where he's got no energy in the legs. So he went nicely off the left with one, and then the next kick just went bloody nowhere and like out of bounds. I think it might have gone, and yeah, we were out there. But yeah, when you stuff up like that, you just think, you know, we were 3-on-2, and we should have had, you know, more than enough opportunity to, you know, get a score out of that, but wasn't to be. Yeah, and then yeah, down back we looked pretty shaky, Jane. I'm not sure if it was just due to our mids, you know, not being as defensively minded as we have been previously. But yeah, we just looked, you know, at least a step or two off our men. You know, you saw Jai Amos get his second goal. Yeah, Luke Jackson chimed in soon enough with his second, and he had another shot, but fortunately missed that one. And they had a real period of dominance there. And the one time we looked like getting back in the game, we saw Matt Guelfi you know, get a nice goal, which was great. But just as you thought, oh, okay, that'll be the steadier, Fremantle hit back and hit one through Michael Frederick.
Yeah, really disappointing. And I thought Freo were just strolling out of the middle. You know, it's like they were getting free access through the middle. And as Brad Scott said in the press conference after the game, you know, they got four goals out of centre clearances, and you know, we got 1 point. So, you know, there's a massive difference in you know, from the two teams in that way. And I think that was the most disappointing thing. There was no defensive coverage seemed to be played. It was all we'll both go up against each other for the footy, but you know, it was pretty routine. They were winning the footy out of the middle, and we just didn't have anyone, you know, trying to stop that. You know, strolling through the middle, and that really made us look a little bit second rate, I thought.
Yeah, it did, mate.
And I thought we'd go into half time. Surely Brad Scott's going to give him one of the biggest sprays, you know, wake him up, you know, because they started with great intent. You know, we that first 10 minutes was fantastic by the boys, but it's like they went into this lull period, and in that time, Freo started to hurt us. So you hoped we'd start the last, sorry, start the second half in a much better fashion, but within 43 seconds, there was a goal to Michael Walters.
Yeah, it really hurts you, Jane, because that's it. You go into half time and think, okay, we can reset. And really, like, we went into half time down by 22 points, so 4 goals, not insurmountable. But then, yeah, as you say, when, yeah, within a minute, Michael Walters kicked running in, you know, within a minute and a half, they've kicked another through Andrew Brayshaw. You think, bloody hell, what are we in for? Yeah, we really looked, yeah, kind of out on our feet. And our positioning wasn't looking good. And we really needed something to shake us out of, whatever days we were in. Unfortunately, we saw a really good goal to Jakey Stringer.
Yeah, even the it was funny watching the umpire after that, mate. Stringer had kicked the ball off the ground, right in the forward pocket there, and somehow it made its way through to goals. And I saw the field umpire strolling back to with Jakey to the middle after it, and they both had a bit of a laugh on that one. It was like he said, "Did you mean that?" You know, like, no, it was a great goal, and you thought, as you said, mate, you hoped that would might be a spark to get us going, but we certainly had the next few opportunities, but we just couldn't make the most of them.
Well, that's it. And I think, realistically, Jane, we were sort of falling victim to, I suppose, what had happened to us, like what we'd done to other teams previously. So I don't know if you listen to the Don Stat podcast, Jane. G'day to the boys if you're listening. They were talking about, teams when they've played against us. Yeah, they get a lot of scoring shots, but they often take scoring shots from outside 50 or from more difficult angles or from 40 plus at least. And we saw that against Carlton and we saw how inaccurate they were there. We were falling victim to that. Like you think of Peter Wright's effort, you think of, Jake Springer's effort there. Like they weren't high percentage opportunities. They could kick them, but it's not like we were lowering our eyes or, running leading patterns for other blokes to get involved. Like I personally feel, Jane, like the likes of Langford needed to get involved more. You need to like lead for it as a forward to give us a better opportunity, better avenues towards goal, rather than hoping for 45 on the boundary, effectively, where Jackie Stringer was. Same thing for Wiedemann. I think he needed to do more as a forward, like run leading patterns to give us greater scoring opportunities. We saw Darcy Parrish have a ping, but unfortunately, it didn't go through. And like, from that reset, we thought we might have had at half time. That's about as far as we got that quarter. We kicked the one goal two, and then from there, Freo just took control. Frederick had a shot before lucky shots, kicked a goal. Luke Jackson then kicked his third, and they'd actually stretched their lead by the end of that third quarter. Going 12 goals, 80 to our 6 goals, 5, 41. And when you, well, the best part is 7 goals down, James, going to the fourth, it's a bridge too far. We really looked, out of our depth, I'd have to say. And experienced players like Langford, like going inside our forward 50, bloody woeful. I'm not saying Langford's a bad kick, like he's a really good kick, but our decision making of the day was, it was really poor. Going inside 50, was particularly bad. And compounding that issue of like our ball use being bad was the amount of missed tackles I saw, Jay. How many times did we see, Freo blitz through and, our defenders might get a hand on him with a lunge, but that is not a solid foundation to tackle a bloke or bring him to ground. Like you really need to, drive with the, drive and go with the shoulders or, through the hips, rather than sort of lunging with half a hand out because they're going to slap you away every time. And I just thought, that third quarter, they really sort of ripped it away from us.
Yeah, I
There
was going to say with that too, mate. On the play, what I was surprised about, I was meant to mention this at half time. I looked at the stats because I thought we're hardly laying a hand on them, in tackling. We've had 18 tackles to half time. That's our lowest tackle count for this year to a half time of the game. So that showed how little pressure we were putting on them. And then just before three quarter time, mate, we saw Brandon Zerk Thatcher get injured, where Sammy Durham, they're both going for the ball and unfortunately made contact to Zerk's face. Now, there was no concussion, thankfully. But shortly after that, he seemed to have picked up a groin injury. I don't know how bad it is, but yeah, he was out of the game. But we'd already made our sub at that point. We'd subbed off Nick Bryan and brought on Jai Menzies, so it actually meant that, you know, our bench was, you know, diminished to three rather than four.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that happens in footy. Not much we can do there. But friendly fire. Yeah, I mean, glad Zirk didn't have a concussion, but yeah, hopefully he's not injured too bad. Well, I guess we'll see what happens there. But then going into that fourth quarter, we saw Darcy Parrish bob up and kick a goal, which was great to see. Went back and lined it up, and then Liam Henry, who I thought, yeah, he gave us a bit of a bath on the day, Jane. Like just his speed and ball use. Yeah, he was just real evasive. Fortunately, he missed that shot on goal he had. And Jai Menzies, who'd come on late to try and give us a bit of spark, he bobbed up and kicked one.
Yeah, that's right. That's where the ball, I think it might have been Peter Wright flying for mark, and somehow it got to the back, and that's where Menzies took the mark. And he went back and kicked the goal. So, to kick the first two goals of the last was a good start. And, you know, the ball was living in our forward 50 for the next few minutes, you know, where we had misses from Peter Wright again. Jai Menzies, you know, that was admittedly tough. And then Zach Merritt came and kicked the goal.
Yeah, and I'll say with Peter Wright, he was... I have to say he was given an absolute bath from Pierce. Pierce killed him. But we didn't help Peter Wright. We were continually bombing it on his head rather than, you know, out in front of him for him to, you know, to run onto it. And so that was basically one of his first marks of the night. Going to the fourth. And I think by that stage he was probably feeling out of the game. So didn't have the confidence to go back and kick it. But as you say, with that Zach Merritt goal, you sort of thought, oh, we might be in with half a sniff. Like if we really got ourselves together, it wasn't out of the question totally.
There's 20 points at that stage.
Yeah, it's
on
20
the back
points.
Of Merritt. Yeah.
Well, and that's it. But that's when Frio said, nah, we're gonna shut the door on these blokes. And about a minute after Merritt's goal was from Frederick, kick one, and then not too long after, Caleb Sarong, who was another one who really gave it to us on the night. He kicked one to basically close it off, James. Yeah. So, that wrapped up a pretty disappointing night mine. So they ended up winning 14 goals, 9.93 to our 9 goals, 7.61. So down by 32 points. And even then, I kind of think scoreline flattered us a bit because they outplayed us. From effectively like the end of that second quarter, the end of that first quarter rather, through to the end of the game. Like we had that period of dominance in the first. We didn't take advantage of that and we let them in, gave them a sniff, and they came in and waltzed all over us. So pretty disappointing, but that's footy, Jamie. You mark that one off, dust yourself, and load up for the next game. But pretty disappointing game of the night.
Yeah, it was, certainly. I think even though we've had some losses, against Brisbane and so forth, but I just felt this was our worst representation in terms of the way we have been playing. It really felt like 2022 footy to me, but. Yeah, I take it that they come off the bye, and for what it's worth, it shouldn't mean too much, but obviously it does because most of the teams off the bye have lost. So you've got to take that into account. But yeah, I just hope there's a massive readjustment after that game because, that style of play that we played on Saturday night, that's not going to win too many games. The way we played, and as I said, it's a huge game Saturday night against Port. Really, it's going to be a big, big moment for us to really reset after that one. But it's interesting, mate. The coaches' votes have just come out, and as you know, the the coaches give their votes, and there was one Essendon player that got votes, and he got a solitary vote, so just one. So that's how well we played. It was Jordan Ridley, by the way. He got one vote. The rest were all Fremantle players. So really shows you how far out of the game you are when you don't have any, you know, players representing the top five. That means you've had a pretty tough night, really.
Yeah, so, not many winners, Jam.
So let's have a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the VFL teams. And then we'll go into by the numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast. Mate, the VFL teams, our women have actually played two games since our last pod. With varying degrees of success. You want to go through those games, mate?
Yeah, so against the Bees, we had a real hard-fought victory. Sort of blitzed in that first game, kicked 3-0, so kept some scores, which is great. Then we kind of cruised home there. There must have been a bit of wind or something, you'd reckon, because we got that 3-2 in the first, didn't score for the second. We got 1-4 in the third and didn't score in the fourth. So made the most of our opportunities, which is good. A couple of goals to Manfrey, one to Ryan and Molan each, which is great. And, just reading from the stat sheet, looks like Grace Dicker and Al Chaston combined for 26 tackles between them, Jay. So perhaps they can get down to the AFL training and show the boys what it means to lay a body. So great for them to get up by 5 points in the end. So 4-6-30 to the Ds, 3-7-25, which is excellent to see because, we had that at a pretty tough start to the season, so it was good for them to get another win on the board. Unfortunately, though, this week just gone, they fell just short against Port Melbourne. It was a pretty torrid affair by the looks of it. By half-time, Port Melbourne 1-1, while we'd scored 0-1. And then they kind of got on top from there. And it finished, with Port taking the game out by 3 points. So 3-4-22 to our 3-1. This time with, goals to Chaston, Clifford and Orrit, which was good. But unfortunately, weren't able to take away the chocolates. So, sounds like a tough couple of games there.
As I said, varying degrees of success. One win, one loss, but I'm sure the girls can continue it on. Now, our men's teammate, though, they've had 8 losses in a row and they're going up against Port Melbourne. They've had their issues as well. I watched this game from the comfort of home, I must say. And, we were in the game, but Port always seemed to be that step ahead. It was great to see some really nice plays by Waller, the AMT, and he did some really nice stuff, I thought, throughout the game. He really tried to put pressure on and so forth. So I really hope, that might lead a path to him, getting closer to senior selection. We saw Sardis, who's now played his third game back in the VFL. He started the game quite well. I will say his kicking wasn't great on the day. Just his field kicking was a little bit off, but I think it was quite a breezy game with the wind and so forth. So, probably not made for supreme skills. Kane Baldwin was taking really strong marks down back. I think if Zerk is really struggling to get up, Yeah, I think Baldwin might get an opportunity to come in to the seniors because he certainly didn't hurt his chances. Nick Hind was fine in the footy. He found a lot of the footy, you know, playing that well-known halfback flank role. And you know, I think that's the question. The match selection is that you know, when you bring in Kelly and drop Hind, you lose. For what you gain, you lose a bit of leg speed. And, yeah, I think you know, he's another one who would have raised his hand for selection for this week on the back of his performance. Pat Voss was getting, you know, opportunities. Look, he didn't always make the most of them. But, geez, he's a strong guy. Like, there's a number of times where you know, two or three players are trying to drag him to ground and he can still get a handball out. That really excites me. I don't think every player has that skill to do that. And when you see Sam Wiedemann kind of labouring, you know, I know Sam Wiedemann set up a number of goals on the weekend. So, you know, just through handballs and so forth. But I think at some point we've got to give Pat Voss a bit of an opportunity.
Yep.
I'd be really excited to see that. I think he's got the temperament that although he could probably give a few free kicks away unnecessarily, I think he'd take the game on, if you know what I mean. Like he'd want to leave his mark. I just think it's only time preventing him from getting a game. But I'm just trying to think who else stood out to us. But I will say, even we at three quarter time, I felt we were still in striking range, but that last quarter was just diabolical. Our own ex, Tom Hurd, played very well, playing off that halfback playing for Port, and he kicked a nice goal, mate. And Dad was there to watch him. Had James, and standing right next to him was Mr. Demetrio. I don't think those two will ever sit next together.
I don't think so.
Adrian Dodoro. So, it's great to see that James and Adrian were still standing next to each other after all this time. But, Tom had a very good game. Wangers is, he keeps trying. He does a few nice things that catches your eye, you know. Elwyn Davey, you know, probably didn't have the impact that you wished he could.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a number of, one of our highest number of listed players in the side. I think there was 14 players playing there.
How did Mankara look, mate?
Mankara kicked a nice goal. He tackled quite well. Again, the way he plays, he's not in the play too often, but he certainly has an impact when the ball comes in his territory. And he laid a really good tackle and kicked the goal. And he's one that we're going to need a lot of development into him before he puts his hand up for selection. There's talent there, that's for sure. Kian McBride, mate, he was back, and he's got a nice turn of speed for how big he is. You can tell he's still very raw. But there's something there. I don't know if we'll ever see it flourish, but I can see why the club's persevered with him. Rhett Montgomery came back. And he was taking a lot of intercept marks. It was the game was largely played. You know, Port would get a goal, and then there'd be long periods where both teams were just going back and forth, intercepting the ball. And Rhett Montgomery took a number of marks, especially early in the game. So he was well, but he's just not that. He's not big enough to play a key position role, if you know what I mean. Like
he's
really got to play. Yeah, he's going to be more of a, I don't know, a Redmond type.
Mm-hmm.
He's got good hands, but you could never ask him to play key position. I don't think that. So I'm just trying to think of other players that.
What about Massimo D'Ambrosio, mate?
Yeah, he had a number. He had a fair bit of the footy. I wouldn't say he was really influential in the game, but he certainly didn't hurt his chances at selection because he found the footy, and even in the windy conditions, used the footy pretty well, but certainly wasn't dominant. Any other players that I'm missing, mate? I'm just trying to think. When you're on the spot.
No, I think you got the.
Aaron Lord. He's still. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to go to the next level, mate. He's certainly got some speed, but he has these large patches where you just don't see him at all.
Yeah.
So he's just, whether that's positioning or, he's really playing a defensive role. But, I think the way he play, if he, in an ideal world, is with his speed, and he could be a damaging return player, from back line to forward.
But
doesn't really play out that way in the game so far, like the that I've been watching. All in all, it was a little bit disappointing, especially that last quarter, mate. That was really hard to watch. And it really shows that our VFL team, we're not giving these younger players much chance to gain any confidence from playing VFL. That's our ninth loss in a row. And when you're losing all the time, you're not getting that satisfaction of winning a game, but also, getting lots of opportunities up forward and, kicking goals, large rounds of goals. So, it always seems like we're working hard. And I thought we played a really slow brand of footy. Now, where maybe the wind and that played into that. But it was certainly not an attractive style of footy we were playing. And we just couldn't use the footy. And I think, if I looked at both our senior and VFL team on the weekend, I would say, I remember them saying, we're going to train our VFL team the same way as our AFL team so that, they integrate when players come in. I would say they played very similar to each other. That's great when you're winning. Not great when you're losing. So, I think game styles certainly not inventive, in my opinion. We certainly didn't seem to go for broke and really take the game on as we would have liked. But, unfortunately, another loss, and it really blew out in that last. So, have you got the score there, mate?
Yes, we ended up going down 5 goals, 8-38 to their 13 goals, 13-91. So, 53-point shellacking.
Yeah. A lot of that came in that last quarter, mate. We're still within striking distance, I think.
Yeah, 7 goals, 4-1, looks of it.
Yeah, so that was a disappointing thing. I will say, teams like Port and that, because they don't have young AFL listed players who aren't making their way into the seniors, they have a lot of bigger bodies.
Yeah.
And they look like men, So the likes of Sardis and Nick Cox, I should mention, is another one who really didn't have a lot of the footy. But Sardis and Cox in particular, they got absolutely smashed a couple of times. I think obviously the opposition know how talented they are. They were really cannoning into those, young, lean players. So that's the other thing you've got to cope with is that, Sardis and Cox, as talented as they are, when a bloke is, 90 to 100 kilos smashing into you, it doesn't make life easy. So, it probably wasn't a great thing to help them with their confidence. But as I said, I think Sardis had around, 20 odd disposals and just didn't use the footy well. So, I'd like to see him get a senior opportunity soon, but I don't think it'll be on the back of that performance.
Yep,
and Nick Cox, he was named as an emergency one part of the four players that weren't selected on Thursday night for the senior team. Yeah, I still think he's number of weeks away too, mate. He just seems, yeah, since coming back to the VFL team, he's really found it hard to find a position and get his hands on the footy.
Bloody hell. All right.
Sorry about if I'm breaking your bubble there, but I can't sugarcoat it. But I will say, Waller was probably the most exciting player to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was given heaps of effort on chase, and he did a couple of nice things without obviously kicking. I don't think he kicked a goal even, but he did some nice things, defensively, and still did those few classy things that only he could do.
Brilliant. All right. Well, that's the silver lining for us.
Yeah, correct. Mate, we should go into by the numbers. And we always find it's a bit harder, isn't it, after on the back of a poor performance. But we start with Andy McGrath. I thought he actually played really well on the night. He did his best, kept his opponent pretty well held.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't dominated at all, and provided a lot of run out of the back line.
He did, Jam. And by a lot of run, 630 meters gained, which is pretty big. I will say though, he made a lot of clangers for mine. I don't know if it's because he's taken the game on, but sometimes with his kicking, it just have your heart in your mouth at times. Ended up with the 6 score involvements, 6 intercept possessions, so 4 inside 50s for us, which was good. He was busting his ass, Jam. So he worked really hard. I'd have to say he played a solid game for us, pretty good. But I just think defensively, he got found out at times, especially just how Freo were able to sort of work it so easily in our forward line, and we're always a step or two behind. And I think that to me sort of detracted from his performance a bit.
Yeah, no. Darcy Parrish returned, which was great. Started the game brilliantly. I think he had 11 disposals early in the second quarter. But he kind of, obviously, I think the game caught up with him. But he ended up with 24 disposals, 13 kicks, 11 handballs, 3 marks, 2 tackles, and a goal. So a pretty good return for Darcy. He did turn over the footy at times, but still great to see the number 3 out there.
Yeah, it was, Jane. I think, particularly early, as I mentioned before, I thought he started really well. But as you say, Jane, as the game wore on, I think he missed that lack of, AFL level running the legs. Had a number of really good clearances, which was great. I think his impact, fell away at times. I still think he had a solid game. He'll be better for the run for sure.
Considering how Kyle Langford started, you're kicking the first goal of the game, had a really poor night, just couldn't get into the game. 7 disposals only, 4 kicks, 3 handballs, 3 marks, and 1 tackle. So, I think even Daisy Pierce, and I hate to use her as a source of information because I don't know about you, mate, but all that waffling throughout the game got a bit tiresome. But I thought one of her comments was they could have given Kyle Longford a run on the in the middle of the ground. And I thought that was a pretty good call because, for large periods of the game, he was just totally unsighted. And, we kind of missed him because he's, as you said, mate, he kicks the ball well. And we just were happy to lose him out up forward with not doing much.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. We know he's a quality player, quality ball user, but he's racked up 7 possessions at the end, and we know he can be have far more output to the side. He's been a really good linking player in the past, and it's like we just refused to switch the magnet where he plays on the night for whatever reason. So I don't know if he's carrying an injury or something, but certainly his impact was down on the night. So I think he had a pretty average game. mine overall. Like, yep, it was good to kick that goal at the start, but otherwise, yeah, largely unsighted, Jane.
Yeah, Jai Caldwell, he continues on. He's a real battler. He goes hard for the footy. Didn't have as much footy as he had, but maybe that's a reflection of Darcy Parrish coming back into the side. But he had 21 disposals, 10 kicks, 11 handballs, 2 marks, 2 tackles, and a goal. So I thought he's quite serviceable, but without being dominating.
Yeah, I think it's one of those funny ones because he's come up with a 21 disposal, so I think he's got involved a bit, but I didn't notice him a whole lot. There are a couple of quite nice bits of play. One of the first quarter I remember where he sort of tried to blitz away from the centre line, slapped away a would-be tackler, and he did the same thing in the third, if not the fourth quarter, Jane, to get away. But other than that, his go-to is that, I suppose, the handball and the link-up play, or the getting under the in and under the packs to get the ball there. And now he did have a few clearances, which is good to see. For that, yeah, had a few score involvements, which is good. Apart from that, didn't have a massive impact on the game. So I'd have to say, the average game overall.
Our captain, Zach Merritt, worked his way into the game, worked himself into the game. I thought he started quite slow, actually. He was trying his hardest, but obviously Freo were putting a lot of work into him.
Yeah.
But he, at the end of the game, he's had 29 disposals, 15 kicks, 14 handballs, 5 marks, 4 tackles, which is, the big improvement in his game, I think, really setting the standard there.
Yep.
And on the back of one of those tackles was a goal. So, although I didn't think he was dominant as his best games, he certainly worked himself into the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with that, James. I think it wasn't amazing, but as you say, he just worked all game, and I think that's why Zach Merritt is such a consistent player, because he refuses to just go, it's not my day. He continues to tackle, harass, like without the footy, and then with the footy, he continues to try to make the best option for us. Like had a goal assist as well. Going his way. And actually had, for us, a game high, sort of 7 score involvements, which is great, as well as 5 intercept possessions. And went at 93% disposal efficiency on a night where not many could say that, James. I think disposal was a real problem for us. So not many could have boasted that kind of stat line. And of his 29 possessions, 8 of those were contested. So, he works bloody hard. I think he played quite a good game.
Yeah. An exciting young player, Ben Hobbs. He continued his good form. He ended up with 26 disposals, 16 kicks, 10 handballs, 7 marks, 4 tackles, and a goal. So that almost mirrors Merritt's contribution. And that really shows what a good young player he is. And even with Darcy Parrish back, he was still able to find that footy. And he kicked that really nice goal where he's kicked it from about 40 plus and just got beyond the goal line. Even though Freo players thought they got there. It's a nice goal. And he's a really exciting mate. And again, a player that I think will have leadership capabilities on our team going forward.
Yeah, definitely, Jamie. I mean, he's just such a little tough nut, and doesn't shirk away from a contest at any stage. I was really impressed with his game. Yeah, again, on a night where Freo really had the wood over us for large parts of the game, I thought he was one who could really hold his head high. Had the 5 score involvements, which was great. Had 7 contested positions, like for a young player, I think it's just outstanding. Yeah, disposal efficiency could do with a bit of a touch-up. Went at 73% disposal efficiency. From that, he was definitely pumping it forward for us, had 3 inside 50s. I reckon he's developing really well, and can't wait to see the player this bloke will be in future, because I reckon he can only grow from here.
And Sam Wiedemann continued his goalless streak, mate. He hasn't kicked a goal since Dreamtime at the G.
Yes.
Remember, he kicked those first 2 goals when he got too high by the Richmond players. Hasn't kicked a goal since. He's had 8 disposals, 4 kicks, 4 handballs, 2 marks, 2 tackles. A couple of those were assists, though, with handballs out to players who did kick a goal. But, I thought that was really another game where, he's sadly out of form. Yeah, certainly as a forward. And in the end, he had to get played down back after Zerk's injury. But, it's admirable that Brad wants to stick by him. But, again, it's almost like Brad saying to Sam, I don't care how bad you play, we're sticking by you, and hoping that by doing that, his confidence will come back.
Yep.
But I sometimes think there's a lot to be said about, going back and, waiting for your next opportunity. And particularly when we've got to play a similar size and in Pat Voss, and even though Pat Voss isn't killing it in the VFL like with numbers of goals like he was early in the year, I think sometimes you've got to reward or do something different, on the back of having similar results. So, I thought it was another game where he failed to really have an impact.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess with that, Freo were playing quite well down back. They've got some good defenders, Freo, and they really locked us up. But I will say, his leading patterns, I mean, obviously it's a bit hard to tell from the TV screen as opposed to the ground, but his leading patterns didn't command the footy, for one. Because our boys just kept pumping it long and high to, Peter Wright's head. At the end of the day, as a forward, that's kind of your job to, one, command the footy to, to get shots at goal. From there, even as a tall, if you're not getting it in the forward line, come out and be a commanding presence in the air. And I don't think he did that particularly in the game. Not have a go at him. It's just we know he's capable of it, but he's just a player that just seems so bereft of confidence. And I think, really, James, you mentioned about the VFL, there's potentially an opportunity there where he could, get some confidence from that. And I think, while there's something to be said about, giving players opportunity, that's one thing, yep. But also having to know that you've had to work for your opportunity to get back into the AFL side. Because, it's admirable, as you say, for Brad Scott to say, look, we're going to give you a good run. We're just going to allow you to play the whole season. But if that's at the detriment of, a bloke like Pat Voss, not as clean as he'd like at times. Yes, he's still very raw. But in terms of effort, it sounds like he's doing everything the coaches have wanted. He's now getting more of the football. Had 18 possessions for the weekend. Didn't kick straight, but he still had 8 shots at goal. Only kicked 2 goals, 4 from that. But he's still getting 8 shots at goal, whereas Sam Wiedemann had none for the night, James. So I think that has to be taken into account. Team balance, because if a bloke's that lacking in confidence and out of form, would you, as a midfielder or a winger coming up forward, who are you going to kick to? Are you going to kick to Sam Wiedemann, who knows out of confidence, out of form? Or are you just going to go with a tried and true, bugger it, I'll just pop it on Peter Wright's head and see if he'll grab it, because that's our best shot at goal. There's no one else. So I think, we're too Peter Wright-centric, and I think, part of that, to me, stems from not having a functioning forward line, not having, a real proper two-pronged attack, which is potentially why, Fremantle in particular were able to pick it off all night at will. So, I think he had a pretty average night. But I guess we'll see what the future, the rest of the season's got for us.
Yeah. Will Snelling, again, failed to have real impact in the game. Just a 13 disposals, 5 kicks, 6 handballs. 8 handballs, and 3 marks and 4 tackles. So, as always, he's always a tenacious player. But just little impact on the night. And, he might be one that is looking over his shoulder at match selection.
Yeah, I think for mine, look, Will Snelling will never die wondering, for effort. I think he's a real scrapper, which we kind of needed at times for the game. Like, he got a couple of clearances, had four tackles, which is great to see, but had minimal impact on the actual game itself. Like, four score involvements. But, yeah, with his disposal, he only went at 69% disposal efficiency. So, for mine, coughing it up a bit, particularly when you're not getting a whole lot of the footy yourself. I think we didn't do him many favours. Like, for example, when Martin kicked to him on a 2-on-1, he was never going to win that contest. Also, just literally size wise, he was getting outpointed at many points. So I think really the position he played, we didn't give him the best opportunity to succeed there. So I think as much as I admired his effort on the night, I think he had a pretty average game in terms of impact.
Yeah. One player who certainly didn't is Jordan Ridley. He had a really good game. He had the old triple-double, mate. He had,
That's it.
12 kicks, 11 handballs, 10 marks, 3 tackles, and was really resolute down back.
Mm. He was, James. Just so strong down there. And, to take 8 intercept possessions was excellent. Went really well by foot, so went at 91%. Actually had to win a lot of the footy. Hard fought. So 7 contested possessions. Had a couple of score involvements as well, which is really good. But, I guess for mine, it's that marking power he's got. Like, take the 10 marks and, I suppose, maintain his composure when Freo were really coming for us was really important. So I thought he had a great game on the night, Jane. I'll tell you what, we bloody needed him.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it was a wet night, fairly wet. So to take 10 marks in those conditions is, really important. And I certainly think he had an impact on us, losing by only 32 points. I think it could have been a lot more without Jordan there. Jaden Laverty, he always tries hard, mate. Had a tough night. He's a bit undersized to play on Jackson and when he went forward. And, just 6 kicks, 6 handballs, 4 marks and 3 tackles. So you're never looking for huge stats with Jaden's game. But, he tried hard, but just looked a bit undersized on the night.
I think he got outpointed on a number of points. I didn't think it was his best game. Look, again, he's not going to die wondering for effort, but I just think just unable to make a huge impact on the night. We've known him previously taking a number of marks and intercepting the footy, had 0 intercept possessions on the night. Had a couple of score involvements, so used the ball fairly well when he did get it. But even like winning the hard ball, only had the 1 contested possession. I think, Freo, made him largely, I suppose, not irrelevant, but he wasn't a big impact on their forward line, Jane, which I think was just, credit to how they worked. But unfortunately, Lab's game sort of suffered a bit on the night. And I think that was due to a number of factors. We obviously had Kelly, who we'll talk about later, coming back. I just didn't think our defenders fired as well as they might have. So I think a pretty average game at the end of the day for Lav.
Archie Perkins, mate, he had minimal impact, I thought. He had the 16 disposals, but it didn't feel like that. Usually Archie's a real impactful player. Like, you at least know when he's got the footy, but just the 8 kicks, 8 handballs, 4 marks, and only the 1 tackle. But, I thought it was one of his poorer games.
Yeah, it was, James. And he's another one who his disposal efficiency was pretty poor on the night, like when it's 62%. Had the 6 contested possessions, so I think he was working hard enough to try and win the footy. But I think it's just that, a result of that, One, our ball use more generally around the ground, so not putting him in good positions potentially. But also that position he plays, which you can sort of be either, really in the game or out of it for large parts, and you kind of have to really find the footy yourself. Had a few clearances, so I think, I think he was working hard, Jane, but yeah, just wasn't turning out from the night, I dare say. I mean, for mine, it was a pretty average game. But yeah, he'll grow from here. I've got no doubts about Archie Perkins. I really have a strong belief in him, and he's another one where I saw some pretty torrid comments from supposed fans after the game saying Archie Perkins is not up to it. I tell you what, this bloke, he shows so much shame. So a game like that, you're willing to wear in a development year. Because I think even at the end of the day, he still had 16 possessions. So, found the footy, didn't have a great impact. But what is it, his second year? So,
Third, I think it's
yeah,
third,
third, like third year in the system. But
yeah.
like really, I think there's much more to come from Archie Perkins. So yeah, I'm going to back him in.
Yeah. Peter Wright, yeah, it wasn't his night. He had a great return against Carlton. Obviously the conditions weren't great for him. Alex Pearce has done the job on him before as well, mate. Last year he kept him to similar results. And we certainly didn't make it easy for Peter Wright, as you said, mate. It was a lot of bombing to his head. And he looked so assured against Carlton with his hands. They were just totally opposite on the night. Just could never clunk a footy, taking a big grab. Started the game well, mate, with that first possession. And I said, yeah, go back, Pete, and kick this through goal, goalpost height. But in the end, struggled to reach the distance really and pulled to the left. And just wasn't his night. Like, he did work hard. He got chucked in the ruck, which was a bit apprehensive about because of his shoulder. I didn't want to see his shoulder get pulled or anything like that. It was just gonna, cause him any long-term damage. But fortunately that didn't happen. Let's just hope it was just an off night. Conditions didn't suit him. And let's hope he gets back on the horse against Port.
Well, that's the thing. It's he was just outplayed by a quality opponent. In Pierce, gave him a bath as I said earlier. But I guess what's disappointing for mine is, again, just that lack of a plan B. We just kept bombing it on his head. Just wasn't working. And anytime he did get the footy, he was under pressure. And at the end of the day, he had seven possessions, but three effective possessions, Shane. Like went at 42%. It's not good enough. And I'm not putting that on Peter Wright. Like I know it's difficult. He's had the one game back, then a bye. Then he's come back to a pretty difficult opponent. Plus, again, and I think this goes back to my earlier rant about playing Nick Bryan, but only for limited minutes. So Peter Wright did effectively have to be a third ruck, if you will. When he's literally just come back from a collarbone injury, and you've got Wiedemann there who probably could have done with a bit of time, in the middle or. Yeah, to get involved in the game. So again, I think, just some moves that sort of boggled my mind. I get, maybe wanting to get Peter Wright involved in the game a bit more in a different position, get him out of that area of Alex Pearce. But I just think, perhaps could have been more considered. So at the end of the day, you have to say it was a pretty average game from Peter Wright, but he'll come back stronger for it.
Dyson Heppel, I thought he played really well. Look, he still made a few clangers, but that's going to happen in the conditions as well. But he's really worked hard to come back. The start of the season, I think we both were a bit worried about where this was headed. Really looked like his career was going to peter out with the way he's playing, turnover footy and so forth. But his last, even 7 or 8 weeks, mate, have been really consistent, and he's done a good job. He had 24 disposals, 11 kicks, 13 handballs, 5 marks, and 2 tackles. So, yeah, I thought Dyson Heppel played pretty well, in a much needed backline effort.
He did, mate. And off that had nine intercept possessions. So pretty huge on the night. I think he really stood up under the pressure, which couldn't have been said for everyone. Actually used the ball fairly well, like went at about 79% and had to win a lot of hard footy. So had the nine contested possessions, which is good. Had six score, five score involves rather in the end as well. I think, look, for mine, he just played a real solid, dependable role down back when we were pretty bereft of, I suppose, solid leadership down back. I thought he really stood up, which is good to see. But unfortunately, just didn't have enough, enough blokes standing up on the night. But he's definitely one who could walk out with his head held high.
Sam Durham, mate, he was our hero in the Dreamtime game. I must say his performances since have been a little underwhelming. And I thought this game kind of stood up to that as well. Although he had the 15 disposals, nine kicks, six handballs, and six marks, and two tackles, his field kicking was really poor. Went at 53% disposal efficiency. So that's quite wasteful with the footy. I just think, Sam is capable of much better.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I thought he was, pretty scrappy overall. Look, he's another bloke who won't die wandering for effort, but he's polished. Definitely needs a lot of work. I just didn't think he had a huge amount of impact on the night. So, yeah, I think a pretty average game overall for Sam Durham.
Nick Bryan got his opportunity. As you said, mate, he got very limited minutes, really. Seven disposals, four kicks, three handballs, one mark, and 12 hitouts. So, I could probably see why Nick Bryan would probably be a bit frustrated. Because when you watch him in the VFL, I've watched a few of their games, and he's really dominant as a ruckman. Now, he doesn't have the big body to go with someone like a Darcy or even a Luke Jackson in terms of the way they play. But, I think if you're going to play that second ruckman, you've got to commit to give them the opportunity in that ruck. I can see why Nick Bryan would be frustrated. He looked a little bit frustrated when he was subbed out. Obviously, I can see why he was subbed out, like you're trying to come back from the best part of seven goals down. You've got a small player on the bench. You're going to generally do that. But again, I would have maybe pulled the pin on Wiedemann rather than Bryan, because that game that you've given him, you haven't really, if he comes out of it being subbed out and not getting much value out of the game, then why did you make the selection at all? That's just my opinion. But there's certainly talent with Nick Bryan. I think, we need to hold off selecting him unless you're going to play him, a fair amount of time. To play, I think 30% or whatever it was, mate, it was a little bit baffling.
Yeah, absolutely. And that mark he took, James, came right before he got dragged from the game. So, for him, he's probably thinking, oh, okay, I'm finally in the game now. You've taken him out. Because, like, we have to be aware as well, like, to go from VFL to AFL is a completely different level of football. Like, and against, like, Luke Jackson and Darcy, like, who are quite competent rucks, you're going to struggle. I think, look, at the end of the day, I think when he did get the football, he used it, fairly well. Yes, he lacks the physicality, look, he went at 85%. Like, for a ruckman, that's pretty good. You'd love to get him involved more, but you kind of have to play him. You kind of have to, allow him to, to get involved in the game. So I think how we played him, it reminiscent of early days of Kyle Langford, James. We'd play him for a bit, or then drop him in the wilderness for a while. So look, I don't think it was like a great game for Nick Bryan. He's got a lot of work to do, but I think there's a lot to work with. So look, average game overall, but let's hope he gets more opportunity later in the season.
Jake Stringer, he tried his hardest, mate. Unfortunately, he wasn't accurate with his goal kicking, especially early when he had those couple of opportunities. Kicked a freak goal, it must be said. And yeah, he was played in the middle of a fair bit. Just had the 16 disposals, 11 kicks, six handballs. Sorry, 11 kicks, five handballs, the five marks, and one really nice mark, mate, where he's kind of the old traditional specky, which was nice. But two tackles. But yeah, it wasn't his best night, but I thought he still had an impact on the game.
Yeah, he did. He worked hard, James. Actually had the six contested possessions. So, yeah, it wasn't the flashy stuff all the time. It was, working hard in the guts. Had the six scoring balls, which is good. But as you say, like it was good he was having shots at goal. But, yeah, you'd love to him straighten up because when we need someone to give us that bit of momentum, sometimes he can be that player to ignite us. But when you're missing, and I think really that was the result of, taking effectively iffy chances at goal, like you're talking 40 plus meters out on an angle. No one's going to kick them all the time. So perhaps I need to lower the eyes or give better options. So I think, yeah, not for lack of effort though. I think Jakey Stringer, tried his best to get us back in the game, but just wasn't able to do it. So I think at the end of the day, like he played an okay game, but that's about all I could give it from mine.
Mason Redmond had probably his quietest game for the year. Just had the 13 disposals, 10 kicks, three handballs, four marks, three tackles. Yeah, they really did a good job, Freo, limiting his impact.
It was look, he had moments in that first quarter where he thought he might be looking all right. Took a few nice marks, but then really went away from there. He still used the ball fairly well when he got it, like went at 92%, and that's great, but we just saw no run or carry really from him. No damaging bits of play for mine. And like we saw, and we saw Matthew Boyd show a couple of times. Mason Ribbon, playing off his man by 5 meters and getting shown up as a result. Look, that might work against some opponents, but Frederick's a pretty quick player. And they made us pay then. So I think he had a pretty average game of the night, Jane. Look, not the worst game from anyone I've seen, but for Mason Redmond and the standard he set this year, I think it was pretty average on the night.
Jake Kelly returned after about a 4 week absence, mate, from concussion issues. Yeah, he seemed out of his depth in terms of off the speed of the game. And this time he gave away a few free kicks, mate, and a lot of them looked like he was a bit panicked. Coming back into the side, just had the 12 disposals, eight kicks, four handballs, did take six marks, and one tackle, but he certainly slowed our back line down. Not all on him, but we were very much one pace down back. That's where you question, as much as Nick Hine can get some criticism, he certainly gives a point of difference with his speed.
But for Jake Kelly, I think look, not his best game. Look, not again, not down to effort. He definitely tried hard. There were a couple of good bits of play. But as I say, Jane just really looked off the pace. For AFL level footy. Which kind of disappointing. And at times, I think that really had an impact on the back six as a whole. Like he'd kind of be off his man, which then meant, we had to, bring another player in to sort of cover for that, which then left another player free for Freo. Freo made good use of that. At the end of the day, I think he had a very average game. James, he'll work his way back in. He works too hard. He's too professional to allow that to define him as a player. But certainly not his best game of the night.
Brandon Zerk Thatcher obviously got injured. You know, always tries hard, mate. He's always there competing. Took the 4 marks, 6 kicks, 2 handballs, but certainly wasn't his night. But he did. I thought he defended as well as he could.
Yeah, I mean, like, you got a fist in here and there, and you know, sort of pushed his man, out of the way legally, to you know, trying to allow them to, take too many easy marks. But I think, yeah, he kind of got outclassed on the night. We didn't have too many winners, but Zirk Thatcher, try as hard as he might. I think, Frio just sort of worked around him and, let's hope he's not, injured for weeks to come, because certainly we still need him. But I just thought on the night, played a fairly average game.
Andy Phillips, first real game being number one ruck with Sam Draper out.
Yep.
Look, I thought he tried really hard. He actually took 5 marks, and that's been one of our criticisms of him throughout the season, is that he probably hasn't had as much impact aerially that we'd hope. Took a number of good marks, but made one audacious clanger, mate, that resulted in a goal early, and it's hard to lose that out of your mind after you see that. But he's had the 21 hit outs. He's tried hard against, two very good ruckmen. You couldn't really knock him for his effort. But he's no Sam Draper. And, I think we really miss Sam's enthusiasm as well. I thought Andrew Phillips was very serviceable in the ruck.
It was, in terms of the ruck. I thought he battled hard all night and, acquitted himself fairly well. But, from his 11 possessions, Jane, 5 effective possessions. So went at 45% disposal efficiency. Mm. Like, that's poor in any man's language. So I think really needs to, focus on, look, from his limited opportunities, make smarter choices. Whether it's, handballing to a closer option, rather than try and bite off too much. Look, one of those admittedly was a shot at goal, where he kind of had to throw a boot in it or lose the footy. So I don't mind that. But when it comes to that clanger, and I suppose just a lack of being clean, with the ball, or effectively coughing it up, it does hurt us. So I think, he played an okay game, but that was clearly from fighting out that ruck battle against, Jackson and Darcy. But I still think he needed to, work a bit harder on effective use of the football when he did have it.
Yeah.
But he did have some great arcs in the night, which was good. Just unfortunately didn't make our best use of them.
Yeah. Mac Welfi, continues. I think he's been, what was that, his fourth or fifth game back now. So, he looks like he's over those hamstring problems, touch wood. He had the 12 disposals, only 3 kicks, mate, 9 handballs, one mark, one tackle. So, not a lot of free footy for him. It was all in contested play, and used the ball at 58%. So, certainly wasn't one of his better games, but he still was able to kick a goal.
Yeah, that's good he got the goal, but I think, overall he lacked polish. And, from his kick, he honestly looked rushed for every disposal he had, Jane. And of his 12 disposals, he had 10 metres gained for the night. It tells me a lot of side-to-side or backwards kicking slow down the play, which I guess you kind of get on a night where, we did need, there were times where we just needed to hold the footy for a bit. But, really, his position out there is to be that kind of defensive forward to help us, one, lock the ball into our forward line, and two, to kick goals. He got the one goal, which is great, but otherwise he was, I feel he was rather ineffective. Had the 7 contested possessions, so he worked hard for a game, and I'm not questioning his effort at all. I just think he lacked impact on the game. But I don't know if he'll lift from here. I feel like his game potentially suffered a bit from the lack of another small forward in there, like a Menzies, who I don't think should have been dropped, but or at least or made the sub rather. So I still think from that, a pretty average game from Matt Guelfi.
Nick Martin, he got plenty of the footy, mate, but he didn't use the ball as well as he usually does, I think. So he certainly didn't have a problem finding the footy. He had 26 disposals, 17 kicks, 9 handballs, 9 marks. So certainly got around to the footy, kicked the goal. But as good as those stats read, I just didn't think he had the same impact that he usually does.
No, I mean, for mine, he had some very Jekyll and Hyde moments, James. Like he'd make some beautiful kicks, which is great, and then follow it up very soon after with like a really scrappy effort. Like a couple of instances where he's gone the old 1-2, like kicked it nice to a player and then received it back and then continued to flump it. Like one where went basically directly straight out of bounds. Others where went nowhere near our like our players' advantage. Whether it was just stuffed and didn't have the legs to do it, I just think at the end of that kind of just tracks away from his impact because he had like 450 odd metres gained. So like he was playing that wing role. That's great, but I just think could have had more impact. Kicked a nice goal, had a nice goal assist, laid a few nice tackles, so did some good things. But those clangers by foot really killed us and led to direct goals to Frio at times. So I think at the end of the day, I had a fairly average night for Nick Martin.
And Jai Menzies, mate, he came in the sub about a quarter to go. Was able to kick a goal, just had the 5 disposals, 3 kicks, 2 handballs, and 1 mark. But yeah, as a sub, it's hard to have a massive impact. And yeah, I would hope to see Jai Menzies from the first bounce on Saturday night.
I think look, he tried hard to get involved, Shane, but the ball often either sailed over his head or like he missed a tackle or something. So I think it's pretty hard to mark his game too harshly from his limited opportunity. So I think overall, an okay game from John Menzies.
Yeah. Well, that's it, babe. We finally got through them. Tough night at the office, that's for sure. Didn't make for fun viewing. Quite frustrating considering how we went into the bye on the back of 4 straight wins. But we fell victim to the bye. And now all we can hope is that Port are coming off a bye. So let's hope it's their turn to suffer that. But we've got a bit of work to do this week. Match selection will be interesting in terms of if there's any change to, on the back of this game, or if we go with the status quo. But yeah, lots to play out. But until
Certainly is,
next,
mate. And wait,
oh yeah, you got something?
and until we do, mate, we better do the votes.
Oh, we haven't even done the votes. How's that?
Yeah.
Gee, I'm glad that you stopped the vote. What's the votes, mate? You go first
It
always.
is. So I went 1 to McGrath, 2 to Heppel, 3 to Hobbs, 4 to Merritt, and 5 to Jordan Ridley. How about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
Yeah, my votes. I thought Rids was easily the best player on the ground for us. I think Merritt 4. I just thought he worked his way into the game, and with his efforts, it was admirable. Ben Hobbs was brilliant, I thought, for his impact, and gave him 3. 2 to Andy McGrath for his run off half back and defensive efforts, and 1 to Dyson Heppel, who was pretty resolute down back as well. So yeah, no surprise. A lot of our defenders got in the votes this week because there was a lot of footy down there.
Certainly was, mate. All right, well, I'll quickly run through the votes tally. So down the bottom, we've got Durham and Phillips on 3, Zerk Thatcher on 4, 5 apiece to Wright and Perkins, 6 to Draper, 7 to Setterfield, 8 to Wiedemann, 10 to Caldwell, 12 apiece to Heppel and Kelly, 18 each to Hobbs and Scheel, 21 to Stringer, 30 to Langford, 32 for McGrath, 35 to Parrish, 41 for Martin. Mason Redmond, Jane, sits in third now on 48. Jordan Ridley pipped him at 49. And now out in front is Zach Merritt on 53 Don's cast medal votes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mason Redmond was in had the lead for a number of weeks, it seemed, and it's going to be interesting. You know, last few games, or you know, what, there's still about 8 or 9 games to go for this year. Let's hope. We see a lot more of our forwards collecting votes in the weeks to come. So that'll probably mean that we're playing well. So, until next week, go Bombers.
Go Dons.